It's Wednesday, December 21st, 2016, and welcome to episode 196 of Tech Talk for Teachers. I'm Tom Grissom.
I'm Brian Poulter.
Welcome to Tech Talk for Teachers, the show about teaching and learning with technology. And Brian Poulter joins me today on
the shortest day of the year in the Northern Hemisphere.
I guess that's true. So welcome to Tech Talk for Teachers. We're going to talk a little bit about this semester, and I'm going to kind of call this a little bit of a debriefing. One of the things that we need to do as teachers is kind of look back over our practice and be talking about a couple of technology picks of the week. And things change over time. And sometimes I'm guilty of I'm always looking for the next big thing. And sometimes we need to go back and review. And I think that's true for both of our tech picks this week. Things get better over time. And what might not have been a good experience whenever an app first came out, you know, there's been improvements and updates and things, and over time, they certainly do improve. So the same can be said for our teaching. I know this time you did a little bit of different things.
I did, and just one of the things you made me think of right there is, people, if you're not making mistakes when you're trying to become a better teacher, then you're not going to be a better teacher. Sometimes you try these things, and they don't quite work out the way you anticipate, but you learn from that, and you learn not to do, and it makes you a better teacher, and it makes and more exciting because you're trying something new yourself, even though you may have taught something for 20 straight years.
Right, and that reflective practice is so important because that's how you grow and improve. So sit back, relax, and here we go. It's time for another episode of Tech Talk for Teachers, and as we end the end of another semester, I thought we'd just spend a little bit of time, a few minutes here. We have Brian Poulter back with us in the studio, and just talk a little bit about some of the different things that we may have done a little bit differently this semester. We've got a lot of new tools available out there. We are an Office 365 university, so Brian, I know you've been doing a little bit with OneNote this time and some of the other tools. So what's some of the different things and kind of success and maybe some failures and things that have worked and maybe have not worked?
Well, we talked about this a little bit before when I started trying it, but I was using OneNote this semester, sort of a technology-enhanced classroom. Actually, I used it in two classrooms, an intro photo class, essentially, and an intermediate photojournalism photo class. It took over. We had a sort of a re-drop system, as we called it before, where we had a server where students could drop off work, and we could give them work in a read mode, which means they could download it but couldn't edit it. Mm-hmm. Totally replaced that with OneNote. As an overall, I really, really liked the experience. The downside, if you can call it a downside, was that it took more of my time, but that's just because I was able to give more feedback. Mm-hmm. And what I really liked about it, I think we touched on this earlier, but it really, really worked well. And my students seemed to say that they really, really liked it. We give out evaluations in all our classes. We're required to. I ask them to specifically comment on whether or not they like that or not. I won't get that back until the beginning of the semester. The high point for me was the ability of a student to make a photograph related to an assignment, go online, place the photograph so we could immediately see it. If you open the page that they have, that we share, the student and I share, and also to attach the image. And this, one of the things I had to teach them was that there was an 18 megabyte file size limit for the photo, which they shouldn't be going anywhere near unless they had not sized mm-hmm. the photo correctly. So there was that nice thing, was it was immediate, oh, you screwed up something because you can't place on the page.
And didn't they have to do JPEG or PNG?
Right.
They will not do RAW.
RAW would be way too big.
Way too big.
They like to throw Photoshop or TIFF up there sometimes, which is not what I ask them to give it to me in. And part of the reason is just to teach them to be aware of the format and the sizing anywhere or any publication or any internet site or whatever, any organization is going to have the different way they want you to handle sizing and format. So if you become cognizant of that, because I'm forcing you to do it the way I want, they're just very aware of conversions and pitfalls and all that. So once they place this photo, attach the photo, I should say, the thing that was really nice for me is if it wasn't perfect or there was things that I needed to direct them to work on, I could download it, correct it, then replace it or attach it on their page, you know, using OneNote allows you to essentially write on the photograph, arrows and text and annotate, and occasionally even hit the record function if it was too hard to explain in text, leave them an audio comment, which I didn't do a whole lot, but there were those times where it was like, okay, I just can't type this out and explain this. And you can, you know, draw one and arrow and say, okay, look where I noted this. This is what I'm talking about. And it also, even though this would be perfect for an online learning environment where you didn't have that face-to-face interaction necessarily, I found that it stimulated face-to-face conversations because I would write this stuff and I would show them stuff. And then in class, I'd say, hey, when you wrote this, and it would lead to more questions. Mm-hmm. I guess the downside is it took up more of my time, but that's because I was being a better teacher and could give them better feedback. And I just sort of learned to double the time I was going to take to learn stuff because I got excited because I could really show them.
Yeah, this is a subjective, this is a very subjective question. I don't know if you can answer it, but...
The answer because, is four.
42. Because you can give so much feedback, did you see the students maybe alter their effort and maybe try doing a better job or the same? Could you even tell?
Yes.
I guess let me ask it a different way. Did they appreciate the feedback?
Definitely. And I think many times I found myself, I don't know if the word is stricter in my grading of it, but there were a few times where I said, okay, here's the grade you have now. If you correct it so it's in the ballpark of what I'm showing you, it doesn't have to be exactly because it's an aesthetic thing, so you don't exactly copy other people's work, but there are some accepted professional standards of what photographs should look like. If you can get it closer to this, I'm willing to let you do it. Or in a couple times I just said, no, redo this. Mm-hmm. And the other thing, too, is if you're grading the photograph on a Thursday, and a lot of my classes are two-day-a-week classes, hour and 40 minutes twice a week. You give it to them, you grade it on a Thursday, you don't see them until Tuesday, but on a Thursday afternoon, and you say, fix this or do this, you've given them, that's 4 or 5 more days for them to work on things or have opportunities to fix things.
Yeah, it shortens that feedback cycle.
Yeah, and I think that's real instructive, too. But I tend to get really good feedback on it. There were a few technology things that you don't anticipate. One of them is we have a lab that we use for our classes, and if a student did not log out and the student comes in to log in to work in their OneNote, it was not always apparent to them that the other person was still logged in. It appeared to them like they were logging in, and it said they were logging in, but they weren't. So I had to really teach them first for security purposes.
Yeah.
Log out.
Very important. Lessons learned. Yes.
But we had no incidents of people causing problems yet. For some reason, the way OneNote was working, it wasn't not telling the next student that the other person was still logged in and they couldn't figure out why it was showing their stuff, but they couldn't do anything in the stuff.
Yeah, that's something that we're constantly telling all of our students down here in the ITC, since it's a public lab, that, you know, anybody comes in, logs in, you know, always log out. And then we've got security software that when you restart it, it just clears out all the cache and everything. But that's a very important lesson to learn early on. That's just a habit.
And coming more, I built Windows machines. I work with them, but I'm primarily a Mac person because that's where my industry is and that's what I learned to work on. And I didn't find the interface as intuitive as I hoped it would be. But once you start to get it, you start to get it or know enough to start clicking around and finding buttons. Having said that, I prefer it much more in terms of it being intuitive to, we also are a Desire to Learn school, the online education platform. And that's more restrictive. So in some ways, that's more comforting because there's like 5 choices. Mm-hmm. With OneNote, there's 57 choices.
Yeah.
I'm more about, I want 57 choices, but you create 57 times 57 more ways students can mess up things and have to solve things. But if you're not teaching them to adapt to ever-changing technology, essentially it's like our environment. It's like the physical environment of the weather. You have to adapt to the weather. Well, our educational and our real-life intellectual environment now seems to be technology-driven, and so you just have to be flexible. And we're not teaching them to be flexible in that.
Yeah.
It's not going to always be obvious.
That's one reason I want to talk about this on this particular show, because of all the years that I've been doing this, I really feel like we've kind of turned the corner with the cloud technologies and the maturity and the new possibilities. In teacher education, we have a saying, you know, if you're a teacher, do you go out there and teach the same year 10 10 times or you'd teach for 10 years. You know, you're constantly needing to adapt. And in this day and age, if you're not adapting, you know, you're not doing the students any, you know, any favors at all. The other thing, you're primarily, you know, with the history as a professor, you're primarily doing face-to-face. So this is probably, I would guess, your first semester in what I would call a blended, you know, environment, mixing more of the online components. And I know in our talks that next summer you're going to be teaching, is it 100% online?
Yeah, in the summer I'm teaching what we have a senior seminar classes here at Eastern, which means it's a class you teach in your discipline, but it's taught for students who are not in your discipline. Journalism students won't be able to teach this class. This class is on media and society. So I'm looking to try to force myself to teach in OneNote. And as we're, maybe we'll discuss this more, maybe we won't, but OneNote does not currently provide all the tools, at least readily, the way that I can figure out how to take advantage of them to teach the way I want to teach. Mm-hmm. And that's what you and I have been meeting almost regularly, saying, oh, well, what if we do this? What if we try this? I'm willing to try. I think I might be the weirdest professor you know. I'm sort of a laggard, and then I'm not afraid to jump in the water depending on this, on what we're talking about. I just have to see a clear advantage and a clear path forward for how it's going to work. I don't want to jump in the deep water just to jump in the deep water.
Right.
But,
what's the advantage?
But if you throw a rubber ducky on top of that deep water and say, go get that, I'll go, okay.
Yeah, so the tool set, and you know, this is something that we've had conversations, we'll continue to have conversations about, but in particular in the online environment, like the discussion tool, and I know we've just started playing a little bit with Microsoft Classroom, although that discussion tool is mixed in with Outlook. So if any listeners out there of Tech Talk for Teachers, if you have some experience out there with an Office 365 school and solution, in particular, we're looking for an easy way to do the threaded discussions. You know, we can do it within Desire to Learn, and you know, we may end up doing that, but looking for something, I always use the term learning flow, and I think that's what you found with OneNote. It's a very natural learning flow in the feedback cycle and everything, and that's just good teaching. You know, frequent feedback, you know, is it timely? And then do the students have an opportunity to go back and, as you said, you know, correct their work and, you know, make improvements? That's the learning cycle right there. So as you go on into the 100% online environment, it's challenging. I really love teaching in a blended environment because you have the best of both worlds. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some things that are difficult to do online, and there's some things that are difficult to do face-to-face. And I find over the years, I'm finding myself becoming more and more comfortable with the online environment because I can go out there, you can learn anything on YouTube. You know, you name the subject matter, and there are some very well-produced YouTube videos out there that do the digital annotation, slow it down, put slow motion. Those are things that you can't do in the classroom. And it makes all the difference in the world when you're learning new concepts that you can kind of like freeze frame, slow that down. And I certainly see the advantages there. A couple of other things with OneNote, and like I said, you're running on the Mac platform. I'm primarily Windows, but they do have the online version. They have a Mac desktop. They have the Windows desktop. And then they have the apps for like iOS, Android. Mm-hmm. So it's a bit confusing whenever you start with OneNote because you have those different interfaces, and each one's designed for a specific thing. And Learning Tools, which is the dictation and immersive reader for dyslexic students, that has been a fantastic addition this semester and earlier this summer. It actually came out, I believe, in January when we first saw it. And then the ability, and what I'm interested in as an instructional designer, is the scope and sequence and being able to embed videos. And now then, and this is another recent addition, and I don't know that you and I have talked too much about it, but the Microsoft Forms, you can incorporate that into a feedback cycle. And that might be what, you know, you might want to kind of lean toward for your online classes to get, because it's like you're out there talking, it doesn't feel like you're talking to anybody in a 100% online environment. It's like, you know, check, you know, hey, anybody listening? You out there? So the Microsoft Forms, maybe some creative uses of that. And then again, well, media and society, this will have, you know, definite benefits for you. One of the question types in the quizzes does support images. So I think you could really construct some thought-provoking questions out. You know, even though it would be multiple choice, you can word them because you're wanting them to think and ponder, you know, some of the issues out there. So
If I could just amplify one thing you said earlier, if someone does have experience in using in creating some kind of a threaded type discussion using OneNote or some insights, please contact us, because that's one of the things we are working to solve. If OneNote could offer a non-Outlook format, because essentially it works through your Outlook and it's commingling those notifications of discussions with your regular email.
Yeah,
and
it's separating them by groups, but it's confusing.
And we sat down with it, and my main concern when I look at it is this clear and easy for students to learn, because you're not going to be in the classroom in the online environment to demonstrate how to use this, and that's a problematic. And the second thing is I feel that if OneNote could have a more traditional threaded discussion type environment or sub app or whatever they want to call it available, and some kind of grading program. I can do grading. I can PDF, and there's a bunch of ways around it. But if they could make that seamless, I think they could own the planet. Yeah. with OneNote.
Well, they do have some APIs, some plugins that work between OneNote and Desire to Learn and the new Microsoft Classroom. Again, it's early days for all of that, and
right.
It's still, to me, it looks very immature. I mean, it's a work in progress. And I think it will get better over time, but you know, it's just going to take a little bit of time. And the comments like this, I'm sure the team's listening to, and it's like, how do I do that? The other thing, and I haven't asked you this, but I've been real curious because of your field and photography and things. Do you ever do? I'm sure you do with your students. Do photo walks?
Define what your definition of photo walk is.
You know, there's like seminars where you like go out and. You meet some morning, like, let's do architecture of the city and stuff, and have a professional photographer say, you know, look, see this.
We do that in the intro class. In the advanced class, one of the things I do is I say to them, we have a draft. Think of it as a fantasy football league draft, but we're not drafting football players. We're drafting buildings on our campus. And I say, think about this, but I'm going to give you a building, and you have an hour to go into it and photograph it. And I don't want it to be about architecture. I want about the building interacting with people, because, you know, the Colosseum is worthless unless you're having some kind of athletic spectacle in it. So how do you photograph the life of this building? And then they research it and they think about it, and then they come back to class a couple of days and they have an hour to photograph it and 45 minutes to give me 5 to 8 photographs, printed, ready to go, professional quality.
Yeah, the reason I asked that is I did a blog post earlier this semester that got a lot of traction about using multiple devices with mm-hmm. OneNote and using their mobile phones.
Right.
And I did the example, we went out to the Fox Ridge State Park here and just took some pictures, and you can incorporate it into whatever subject area, you know.
Right.
A creative teacher is going to find a way to do that. But again, that cuts down on that cycle time. And then if you do it in the collaborative space of the OneNote class notebook, then your peers, you can see your peers' work as well. Again, you have to provide some structure in the beginning, like maybe make a page for each student or a mm-hmm. group of students to do some group work, which is, you know, these collaborative skills, 21st century skills that we've got to give our students practice to, you know, for them to become proficient in. That's exciting to me to see the collaborative, which a note-taking app is like, you know, note-taking solitary application. It's like, what do you mean collaborative? But it opens up a whole nother realm of you know, working with others. The one other thing, this semester, just kind of looking back in the teacher education program, we did our EdTPA, which is a licensure requirement for our soon-to-be teachers to receive their license, and I think we had well over 120-some students, and everybody was very successful in that. But that's using the video, and I kind of compare notes with you because you work in photography, and so you think those file sizes are large. So we've been dealing with, and I'm just amazed, because the students are a lot of times out there using their cell phone, and they use the highest resolution, and we end up with a 30-minute video that's like 2, 3, 4 gigabytes in size. And as much as we talk and warn them in advance about changing that resolution, we always end up with that. But that's kind of the state of the technology. The good news is, finally, the mobile phones have gotten, they've actually gotten too good.
Oh, yeah, you don't need 4K video that you're going to put on the internet? What are you thinking?
Yeah, that's why I tell them. It's like, we're not doing a Steven Spielberg production here. This is just going to be, you know, you teaching, interacting with children for, you know, 20 minutes for the requirements for the EdTPA. But that is very time intensive, and, you know, we did have another successful semester doing that. So we'll go ahead and wrap it up there. And if you do have any comments on this particular segment, please be sure look in the show notes, and we'll have some contact information there, and let us know. Technology picks of the week this week. I actually have two of them, and one of them has been going around our social media platforms, and it's a site called Radio Garden. And what this basically is a map of the Earth with radio stations pinned to the map, and you can actually go out there and click on a particular geography, and you'll be able to listen to live radio at that point. So let me go ahead and bring this up on my computer, and let's click on. All right, now I'm in Germany, so let's see what's going on over in Germany.
Weihnachtsmarkt mit einer Schweigeminute der Opfer gedacht. Das Gebet heute in der Thomaskirche beginnt um 17 Uhr. Nach dem Brand des Vereinshauses der SGLVB ist die Unterstützung von anderen Vereinen groß. So wollen Chemie.
Now I have no idea what is being said there, but my friends over in Germany, they certainly do. And then let's go over here and let's try a couple of different ones. You know, we were listening earlier and I said that's 80, you know, 80s music in French. I was right. It says best of 80 France here for this radio station.
Well, you do own the 80s.
I remember the 80s. No, that's jazz.
Could be 80s jazz.
That's just universal. Everybody understands jazz. So let's go somewhere else. It's no fun unless you hear them speaking. Everybody's playing music. All right, let's go to Spain. Should be Spanish here.
Estamos, bueno, persuadidos de que pueden interceder eficazmente por nosotros, más eficazmente aún, y se van a empeñar en ayudarnos a la obra de nuestra salvación. Muy bien, queridos amigos, pues.
Okay, so you can have a lot of fun. It's, you know, great for like geography lessons and things going out there. But paired with this technology pick, there is an absolutely amazing new update to the Microsoft Translator app. And I was having a lot of fun with this earlier. This is essentially, if you remember the Universal Translator in Star Trek, you know, where you go back and forth. That's what this little app is, and I have it loaded on my Android phone. So I was able to play a little bit of a radio station from wherever, and you can select the language, like English to German, English to French, you know, English to Spanish, or Spanish to English, whatever your choice is. And I have a few Spanish-speaking students, and we were out here, you know, experimenting with this, and it did an excellent job. She was saying some things in, you know, in her native language in Spanish, and it did the translation, you know, almost immediately. It's not, you know, instantaneous. But it does require an internet connection because it's going back and using machine learning to do all this translation and things. So I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to come out here and open up my Android app. And it's got like a little walkie-talkie button. So if you push on this, and I'm going to translate from English to Spanish. So let's go ahead and give this a go. Hello to all my Spanish-speaking friends.
Hola a todos mis amigos hispanohablantes.
Okay, I have no idea if that was a good translation or not. Let's try it. I'm going to change it from English to Spanish, and let's go to German. Hello to all my German-speaking friends.
Hallo an alle meine deutschsprachigen Freunde.
Okay, Freund, I guess, is friend.
That would never work for me because I don't have any friends. So.
Oh, yes, you do. Plenty of friends all around the world. I think I was just mentioning, just looking at some of our stats, where Tech Talk for Teachers have had listeners, I think, well over 120 different countries. So we're global. So hello, planet Earth.
Oh, we got to get them all. I think it's 130 some countries. Is that what it is?
I have not looked for a while, but that's still pretty impressive. So I'm always amazed looking at the podcasting stats. So we thank you if you're Tech Talk for Teachers listener out there. So I'll provide links in the show note. One of them is called Radio Garden, and then the Microsoft Translator app has been updated in this last week, and they've added some machine learning that's really improved the algorithms. And for school districts, you know, a lot of times we get, you know, English as a second language, or parent-teacher conferences, just sometimes the communication, and this might be a possibility to help out with some of that communication. So those are my two tech picks.
My two tech picks are actually a little bit back to the future. One is for almost any platform. One is for the Apple iPhone platform, iOS. Pick number one is Camera Plus. When you do a search for it, it's Camera with the plus sign. And it is an app that replaces the photo app on your phone. And it's just an exceptional tool. But one of the reasons I want to mention it again is just this week they came out with support for shooting in the RAW format, which is the format that most professionals like to shoot in, because it's essentially, it's raw. It's the data out of your camera.
So
you can color correction. It's full size. It takes up much more space, and you can do a lot with it.
Yeah, it preserves all the details and things. And people don't realize whenever you compress files and make them smaller, the reasons they get smaller is you're throwing out those
throwing
details.
Throwing away data.
Yeah.
So if it's a JPEG, it probably comes out of your iPhone at 3 to 4 megabytes, but the RAWs can come out at 20. So they do take up space, but you have that much more raw data to work with. And so the second pick is an oldie but a goodie, but if you're all into photography, go get this app. It's available for Android, Windows, iPhone, all these. It's Snapseed. It's actually put out for free by Google. Used to be made by this other company, but they bought it, as they buy everything, it seems. But it's a great tool, and they just updated it this week, and it also supports RAW processing. So think of it as Photoshop for your phone, and it just does a super, super great job. And you can save it in unedited. You're not done with projects, and you can kick them out as JPEGs. It's just a super, super tool. And I gave you a couple of photos to put up.
Yeah.
And the reason I picked these two photographs is I'm pointing my iPhone into the sun, photographing a tree that's been in an ice storm. It just happened to be the day they came out. I was one below and I'm out photographing outside because I'm not real smart. But in those situations, the dynamic range of bright to contrast destroys JPEGs, and cameras really struggle to deal with those. And so because I shot it in Camera Plus and then able to process it in Snapseed, I was able to come out with a color and a black and white photograph that were very usable. So check those two out.
And then also, doesn't Snapseed also kind of have some special holiday filters and things?
I don't know if they have holiday ones, but they certainly have, you can put
like captions,
borders and,
yeah,
colors and black and white, and it's free. Please check it out. It's a great tool. I love that tool.
Okay, thank you very much. That wraps it up for episode 196 of Tech Talk for Teachers. Show notes for this episode and archived episodes are available on the web at the EIU Instructional Technology Center website at eiu.edu/ITC. To leave a comment or suggestion, please send an email to techtalk@eiu.edu or leave a comment on our Tech Talk for Teachers blog. Until next time, I'm Tom Grissom.
I'm Brian Poulter.
Keep on learning.